And I just want to continue along with that, and we'll be in Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 15 where we'll start off. And I just want to finish out how our character makes a difference. And I want to give you two thoughts today. And we'll go ahead and define character again. Character is defined as the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. And God doesn't call us, if you're here in 2 weeks ago, God doesn't call us just to do, but rather to be. You know, we ought to be ye doers of the word. The Bible says before we can do, we first need to be. And I just want to continue that. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 15 is where we'll start off. And I'll read scripture and we'll pray and we'll get right into it. The Bible says, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits." And we'll look at the last few verses next week. But let's pray and ask the Lord to bless this time, and may we search our hearts as the Word of God is open. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for this church body, that the church is not the building, but it's us in it. And we thank you that we have a common bond, which is you, and we thank you for the salvation which you have provided. And help us, Lord, to never get over that salvation, to continue to fall more in love with you, Lord. You are our Savior, and we thank you for our relationship with you, for that is eternal life, to know you, the only true God. I pray you bless this time. I pray your Spirit would anoint this time. I pray you be with the preaching to come as well. And may our hearts be receptive and open to the truth of your word. And may we be a church that stands together, that our character would be defined by who you are living through us, Lord. Help us to be a people called out of this world for your glory. And I'll thank you for all of it. In Jesus' name, amen. God doesn't call us just to do, but rather to be. If I were to have you remember one thing, that would be it in the essence of Christian character. You know, so often we tell people when they get saved, it's like, you know, you trust Christ and you're saved by grace. And I remember preaching it when Pastor was gone about the gospel and how it still works. And it's not only for the sinner, but it's also for the saint. And I find that so often, so hard in my life, that I can forget what Christ did. And that's where we get complacent. And that's where, you know, we start going wayward, is we forget about the gospel. We forget where Christ brought us from. And, you know, I think about when, I remember, you know, we tell people get saved, what do? First thing when you get saved is you got to start doing this. You got to start doing that. You got to start doing this. Instead, we tell them, fall more in love with the one who loved you. You know, grow in your relationship, because if not, then we become like every other religion. We teach a grace through faith salvation, but sanctification is by works. You know, and Christian character comes from the inside out and not from the outside in. And that's the heart of, you know, 2 weeks ago was the main message, but I just wanted to finish it up because I felt like this went along with it. But I want to look at just two realities that we need continue to make a difference in the lives of those around us, and it starts from the inside out. I want you to notice in Romans chapter number 12, verse number 15 is the first one. And I put it, be a relator. And you could put another word in there, you know, maybe be an empathizer. But the heart of it is to relate with people. And the heart of this verse is speaking specifically of the church. You know, and so often we can, you know, God brings together many different personalities. You know, many different walks of life, and it's amazing to see how God can do that, and we can come together, and we can fellowship, and we can have that camaraderie where we're striving together for the faith of the gospel, as Paul says in Philippians. But so often I see that contention can rise up, discord can rise up in our church, in churches. Why? Because we're not being a relator. We're not understanding other people's perspective. You know, I think one of the greatest blessings is to have people who are understanding. You know, if we always see things from our perspective and we never try to understand what so-and-so is going through, or we never try to put ourselves in this person's shoes, or you know, to feel, man, how does that feel to, you know, go through this? Or I couldn't imagine this battle, or, you know, this besetting sin, I can condemn them so easily, but how easy, or how,
Why don't I try to put myself in their shoes? You know, and the heart of being a relator is verse 15. It says, rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. And I want you to notice the first thing is we ought to be a relator and rejoice with them that rejoice. We ought to be emphasizers when people are on the mountaintop. You know, because you think about life, it's you got those mountaintop experiences where you're on fire for God and everything's going well and the Lord's just blessing and, you know, there's not maybe any trials going on in your life or in their lives, in the lives of our brothers and sisters. This is specifically what I'm talking about. And we ought to relate to other people, to lost people as well. But specifically in the church, we need that communion. We need that fellowship. We need that partnership together. We're a body, you know. And we ought to rejoice with them that rejoice. And if I were to ask you this question, how do you feel when someone else is blessed? You know, when someone else says, oh, praise the Lord, this happened. Do you say, what about me? Or do you say, praise the Lord. I'm so grateful. I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy to hear that. You know, my circumstances may not be the way that I would prefer. I would love to have your circumstances. You just shared a blessing. But, you know, praise the Lord. Because if I were in your shoes, I would be so grateful. And since that, I'm going to rejoice with you. Because you're rejoicing. But you see, so often I find that what happens when someone else is blessed, and this happens a lot in Bible college, you know, we have a lot of, you know, there's many testimonies. People are like, you know, because we're poor kids coming, going to school, you know, trying to pay our way, working 40 hours a week and going to classes and barely making it by. You know, but God does special things, you know, to certain people, and He'll put on a person's heart to put $1,000 on someone's school bill. You know, and this past semester, God actually blessed me very, very generously. And, you know, I wasn't expecting, I didn't even know the people, and I might have shared this before. But you want to share that good news. You want to say, God provided. And not so that you can boast and say, look at what God did for me because I'm so special that God would only do it for me. It's no, look what God did. This can encourage you. If you're down, if you're struggling with your finances or whatever it may be, God can do it for you too. But is that our perspective if we hear a blessing like that? You know, if you're struggling, and I'm relating it to college because I was careful to share that blessing because I know how people would take it. Because people would be like, wow, what about me? Why doesn't that happen to me? Instead, as the Bible says, we ought to rejoice with them that rejoice. You know, I think of one of my friends. He's a good friend. We actually served in leadership. We're both dorm supervisors and stuff, and he was the leader, the head dorm soup, and I was under him. And, you know, he's a great guy, godly guy, and I love him. And as we were preparing to lead the dorm this past semester, we had meetings and we talked together and prayed together. And he shared with me that he didn't have to work. And he shared with me, and more I got to know him, we were just starting to get to know each other then, and then now our relationship's very strong, and I praise the Lord for it. But he said his dad's a doctor. And he says that his dad has made a deal with him and his brothers and sisters that he'll pay their whole way through school. And I'm like, man, that's so cool. He's like, yeah, you know, I'm not going to work. I'm not going to do anything else. He was on the basketball team. He's like, I quit the basketball team so I could focus on studying and being a dorm supervisor because it's a big responsibility. And I thought about it, and I was like, man, that's awesome. You know, but inside your flesh is like, wow, why didn't my dad pay for all of my schooling so that I could be in the Bible like he is? You know, but it's that choice that we got to make, that we got to say, man, praise the Lord. That is so awesome because that's where God has placed you and he has given you those circumstances. I'm going to rejoice. And for me, my circumstances are different, but God has a plan and a purpose because why? He works all things together for good. And not everyone have the same circumstances or the same blessings or the same trials even, which we're going to see. But we ought to rejoice with them that do rejoice. And then I want you to notice, not only on the mountaintop, but we ought to be a relator also in the valley. We ought to weep with them that weep. You know, what is your thought when someone comes to you with a struggle? What comes to your mind when someone calls you in the middle of the night and says, "Hey, I need help. Can you pray for me? You know, my marriage is on the rocks. Can you help me? I need wisdom with my job, or I made this mistake. Can you help me, brother or sister? I need someone to pray with." And first of all, would someone even come to you for that? Are you a person that would weep with one person, with another? Are you someone that people go to and say, "Man, if I need help, I know brother's going to be there for me. I know, you know, pastor's going to be there for me. I know Brother Shiloh or Miss Susie's going to be there." Do you understand that our life's a journey? And to do it alone is really hard. You know, and you think about the sheep and how Jesus gives the parable of the, you know, the how the wolves come in and a sheep apart from the flock, which is us. Bible calls us a flock because we're sheep and we're not very smart apparently, because I guess sheep are the dumbest animals. But a sheep that's left alone is the one that's the most vulnerable. And so often, we can be so easy to look down on somebody. It can be so easy to condemn one another and say, "Look at so-and-so, wow, they did this." Or, "Wow, they said this. What kind of Christians are they?" But we don't know what they're going through at the moment. You know, we don't know why, because we're not even trying to understand them. We're just seeing them from our perspective. And God has called us here to weep with them that weep. To bear ye one another's burdens, and what? So fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? To love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. And we ought to weep with them that do weep. I think of Jesus, Hebrews chapter number 4, if you want to turn there, verse number 15. And many of you know it, but I love this verse because it talks about our Lord. And I think about Him and how He bared our infirmities. And it says this in verse number 15 of chapter 4 of Hebrews. It says, "For we have an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like we are, yet without sin." Jesus, as the song goes, Jesus knows all about our struggles, and He will guide to the day is done. There's no other friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Are you Christ-like in the sense that you understand people? And you understand when someone's struggling with this, or you know, if someone's acting out in the flesh, it's like, "Man, there got to be something bigger than that. Man, I got to find out why. I want to help my brother. I want to help my sister." You know, guys, we're a family, and I think about how so often we can be, you know, in a family, we can have a lot of drama too, you know. I think about growing up with a family of 10 kids. It was crazy, you know, trying to rip each other's heads off one time and then best friends the next moment, you know. But we loved each other, you know, and we didn't always understand each other and stuff. But God has called us as a family, as His children, to be relators. To relate with our brothers and sisters, to put ourselves in their shoes. You know, and that's what it means to, I have a hard time saying it, to emphasize, you know, to have empathy for one another. Sympathy is feeling bad for somebody, but empathy is putting yourself in their shoes. You know, and so often we can have sympathy and say, "Oh man, that's so bad, I'm so sorry for you." But so how often do we, and I'm guilty of it too, we stay here on the sympathy side. "I feel bad." You see, but what sympathy does is it just says, "Oh, I'm sorry. That's I feel bad for you." But what empathy does is it says, "I want to help you. I feel where you're coming from. If I were in your predicament, I want to help. So I'm going to help you. I'm going to put myself in your shoes, and I'm not just going to feel bad, but I'm going to try to do something to help." We ought to weep with them that weep. Guys, we got to be there for each other. You know, this world is, we have three enemies. We have the devil, the flesh, and this world. And, you know, pastor needs your encouragement. And we all need each other's encouragement. We all need that support system. And, you know, being up in Oahu for the past couple weeks, I was going up there and praise the Lord for, you know, the work he's provided right before school starts, and it's a blessing. But I was able to go to who we call a Baptist church, which is a new church plant. It's about 4 years in October it's going to be. And they're on their third building project. And it's really amazing to see what God's doing. But the heart of Pastor King there is the word invest. And think about it, it's a banking term, and Anwar knows a lot about investing, and Brother Vedder and stuff like that, and many of you as well, especially preparing for retirement, 401ks, IRAs, whatever, you name it. And to invest is to put a little bit of money aside so that you have dividends in the future, right? So you invest in, and you put a little bit aside now, and then in 40 years or 50 years or however long that you wait to cash out your 401k and retire, that increases. That multiplies. Why? Because we put in a little here. We put in a little there, and a little there, but we are faithful. And in order to build wealth financially, you got to be faithful. You got to be disciplined. You got to put money aside, and you save for it, and you put it in at the end of the year, whenever you put it in. The same way is for us as Christians. We ought to invest in one another. We ought to put in a little here and so-and-so and invest here and take out someone to lunch here and pray with somebody here and give someone else counsel there and go soul winning with someone there. We ought to invest. We ought to rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that do weep. And I think about it, it's the heart of the Bible. What did Jesus do for his 3 years that he was on earth in his earthly ministry? He invested his life into 12 disciples. He invested his life, and he poured out his life into three of them. And they went on to change the world. And I think about that, and I ask myself the question is, who am I investing in? Who am I being a relator to? Who am I putting in myself in their shoes and wanting to see life from their perspective that I could help them and that I could rejoice with them on the mountaintops and be with them in the valley? We ought to rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that do weep. Why? Because we are the church of the living God. We are the body of Christ. We are the pillar and the ground of the truth, the Bible says. And that is together. The church is ecclesia. We are the called out ones. Not called out one, but called out ones. And we're called out from the world to Christ. And we're together. We are a body. We are a family. Which through whom we walk through this life together. We ought to be there for one another because everyone's going through something. Maybe it's something awesome and they encourage you by rejoicing. Or maybe they need the encouragement and they need someone to weep with them. Are you that person? Are you a relator today? Is your character defined as someone that is a person of sympathy or a person of empathy? Do you care and just feel bad and say, oh, man, I'll pray for you, brother? And, you know, to be honest, that is one of the greatest things that we can do, but so often that's a cop-out. Oh, I'll pray for you. And I need somebody to say, I'll pray for you, you know? Or are you one of empathy, as Christ was, who bear our infirmities, who is at all points tempted like we are, yet without sin, the Bible says. He knew what we go through, everything that we struggle with, everything that we rejoice in, he knows. And that's a blessing to know that our Savior knows that when we fall short of his glory, he's not there to condemn us, but he's there to weep with us. He's there to rejoice with us. We ought to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. But why? But where does it come from? From the inside out. It always comes from the inside out. Christianity is an inside out kind of religion. It's not even a religion. I hate the word to say religion. It's a relationship. And we get caught up in religion. And we get it from the outside in. You do this, do that, do this. But God wants us from the inside out to be one, a people of empathy, a people that can relate and understand where other people, our brothers and sisters especially, are coming from, that we would make a difference in others' lives. And I want you to notice this last one. We ought to be of one mind. Look at verse number 16, Romans chapter number 12, if you just came in with us. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 16. And we're talking about Christian character and how God calls us to be before we can do. So often we get caught up in doing, but first we ought to be. We ought to be Christians. We ought to be Christ-like from the inside out. And it's always by His Spirit, by grace through faith, not by works which we have done, but it's Jesus working in and through us. But I want you to notice the last one. We ought to be not only a relator, but we ought to be of one mind. And it comes together, and I think this message, you could rename it, but it's a lot about community. It's a lot about our church. It's about the body of Christ. And that's one thing God's really been showing me, and it's been a blessing going up to go to different churches. Like I got to go to Kai Point Baptist Church and help out a pastor there with a couple windows that he needed to get taken care of, which is awesome. To be able to use what God's given me, a profession, to help other, you know, pastors. And I got to be a blessing to Ohana Baptist Church and Huikala. And it's really a reward just to, you know, be a blessing. But to go and see what God's doing in other churches and then come back and to be encouraged and to encourage others, it's really awesome. You know, but one thing we need is we need to connect. Is we really need to connect. I find it so often true. And yeah, the fellowship maybe not too conducive in the building space that we do have right now. But, you know, it was crazy. We had a men's leadership night at Huikala. It was this past Friday. And it was really cool. Pastor made it a point that Pastor King, he made it a point. This is not a men's fellowship night. It's not a men's get-together or gathering. This is a men's leadership night. And, he challenged the men that they need to be leaders, that he can't do it on his own. And the same is true here. Pastor Nathan can't do it on his own. And God has called us men, especially as leaders, to strive together with him, to help him out, you know, to be there with him, to pray with him, you know, to bear his burdens, to go out soul winning with him. Can't do it alone. We can try, but it's God's called us. You know, you think about if you have your eyeball can't, you know, lift up. You can see the cup of coffee, but it can't lift it up and put it into your mouth. And if you didn't have a mouth, you couldn't drink the coffee. I'm just talking about coffee because I love coffee. But, you know, we're a body. And God has called us to connect with each other, to have that family. And how is it for you? Would you say that you're connected to Kauai Baptist Church? Would you say that this is your home? Would you say that, man, they're like my family? You know, they're not perfect like my family, you know, but I love them. And I enjoy their fellowship. I enjoy their company. But so often I see that as soon as the preaching's done, we're out. Shoots, cuz. See you next week. Aloha. But the coolest thing was after the men's leadership, Pastor preached and he challenged the guys. And he said, hey, before you leave, I want you guys to get in a group of two or three. I want you to bear one another's burdens. And he challenged us to be men. And it was a good challenge to be, you know, holy men and men of just a whole bunch of stuff. And he said, share with one another how you what you got to work on, and then pray together. And the coolest thing ever was, that went on for 45 minutes. And I talked with Pastor King after, and he's like, you know, the craziest thing is, I'm standing in the back, and I was waiting for these guys to leave. But they just didn't want to leave. And I was in a small group, and I got to bring Joel Bilyeu, if you guys know him. He just got back from Tahiti, and it was cool how the Lord worked it out together. He got back to Tahiti, and I just so happened I looked on Facebook, and he said, Tahiti was awesome, but I'm back in Hawaii. And then I read down on one of his comments, he's like, I'm staying here in Kaneohe, house-sitting a house for my auntie. And I was staying at Uncle Manny's house, if you guys know Manuel. he lives in Kaneohe. And I was like, what? And I haven't seen him for 2 years since I went off to Bible college. We used to have a Bible study at Shiloh's house, which was pretty awesome. And I was like, man, I got to get together. So I told him I was in Kaneohe, and he texted me a couple days later, and I was working. And it was on Friday. He's like, hey, are you free Friday afternoon? We could go. I know a hike right down the road we could go. And I said, no, I'm trying to finish up. I was tenting Ohana Baptist Church. And I was like, no, but... And that it was that morning he texted me, and I was just about to go to work, and he's like, and the Lord put it on my heart, and I remembered the men's leadership night. And he's like, invite him. And so I asked Pastor King when I saw him, I was like, hey, can anybody come? You know, I thought it was just, you know, church members or whatnot. He's like, sure. And so I invited Joel, and I was like, hey, you know, I'm busy this afternoon, but I'm free. Are you free this night, tonight? He said, yeah. And I said, well, we have a men's leadership night at the church I'm going to. Would you want to come? And he texts me back. He says, why not? And I was like, yes, because I don't know where he was, you know. But he came, and he was so encouraged, and he was in my group, and he was just like a social butterfly. I was like, whoa, this guy's crazy. He's like, they're having a debate whether who likes Doritos or Cheetos more or something like that. And he was asking everybody, but he loved it. And the coolest thing is he was in my group, I say that to say, but it was an encouragement too to bring him and to know that God was working in his heart, and he's actually in church today there and getting plugged in back into church. And he says, man, I haven't been in church for a while because I've been in Tahiti. And, you know, he says he's been among the world. And I don't know specifically what that means, but he's just been amongst the world, not in the sense of maybe sin, but just out of church. You know, and he was so encouraged to be with a group of believers that he connected with. You know, and we as a church, we ought to be a people that we connect, that we're of one mind. Look at Romans chapter number 12, verse 16. It says, be of the same mind one toward another, not high-minded, that's not proud, but condescend, that is to bring yourself down, to humble yourself to men of low estate, and to be not wise in your own conceits. We ought to be of the same mind one toward another. And I want you to notice the first thing. We ought to be of the same mind, for we have one goal. As Christians, God has called us out of this world. Yes, I think about it. If we were saved and that was the only purpose of our life was for God to save us, when we get saved, we ought to be raptured to heaven. You see, but God has given us a commission, and I would call it a mission. You see, 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 1, it says, If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And if any man minister, let him minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified. And our first, the priority of our goal is, number one, to give glory to God. We ought to be of the same mind and have the same goal, that we would give, number one, glory to God. You see, it says, which giveth, with ability which God giveth, and then in the middle of it, it says that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It says God has called us to use our gifts, which he has given us. When we're saved, we have spiritual gifts. And if you can remember from a couple of lessons ago, how we talked about the spiritual gifts and how they make a difference, because God allows you to make a difference in the lives of others. But the reason why they're given, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ because of us. And we need to be on one mind that church is not just a country club. But we ought to have that camaraderie together, and we ought to know that we're in a battle. And we have a mission, and we have a goal, and we have a purpose, and we ought to be of the same mind. Because so often we can see churches that, you know, oh, we're going to focus on this, and we're going to focus on this, but Christ says focus on giving glory to God, number one. But then also, well, I'll read a couple more verses. Colossians chapter number 3 and verse 17, this is a good verse. It says, and whatsoever you do, do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And then the most famous one for giving glory to God is 1 Corinthians 10:31. And this is a good life verse if you don't have one. It says, whether therefore you eat or you drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You see, we ought to be of the same mind one toward another, that our goal is first to give glory to God, but then notice with me lastly, to give the gospel. And that's pretty cool how God works it together. And I got a story to share. But Philippians 1:27, if you'll go there. Our goal is to give glory to God. And secondly, is to give the gospel. And I would even go as far as to say we give glory to God by giving the gospel. You see, the gospel is Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures. He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And if we repent, that is change of our mind, that we're not good and we don't have hope and we need a Savior and we trust in Him, the Bible says that we shall be saved. But then the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 2, it says, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest why? Lest any man should boast. And when someone gets saved, when we give the gospel, and you know, our job is not to say, you know, get saved right now, you got to repent. Our job is just to plant the seed. You know, Paul says, I have planted and Apollos watered, but who gives the increase? God. You know, and we ought to be faithful, and I'm so guilty of this, and so often I get so busy with life, it's like, you know, or I just don't feel like it. That's the big one. Oh, I don't feel like sharing the gospel right now. Oh, I'm tired. But we ought to give the gospel. We ought to be ready, like Paul says to Timothy, it says, you know, be ready, be instant, in season and out of season. But Philippians 1:27 says this. It says, let our conversation, that is our life, be as it becometh the gospel, that whether I come and see you or else I be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, right? The Holy Spirit. And look at it again. It says, of one mind, striving together for what? For the faith of the gospel. We ought to strive together for the faith of the gospel. The reason why we need to be of one mind, we need to have one goal, is for the faith of the gospel. It's to give the gospel to those that need it. That's the reason why we're here as a church. That's the reason why God hasn't just taken us to heaven when we get saved. We're here for a reason, and I'm guilty, and I get sidetracked all the time and get focused on other things, but if we're a Christian in here today and if we're saved, the purpose of our life is to give the gospel. And the coolest thing ever happened, I prayed. I got to witness, I left on Tuesday. I was able to hear Brother Tozier preach, and then I had to go, and I started the job on Wednesday at Ohana Baptist Church. And I flew over Wednesday or Thursday night after the Tuesday service. And it was really, really cool because that earlier that day, I had to redo a window for a lady. She was kind of... She called me and she said that there was something wrong with it and there was like a little nick in the tin. And I was like, okay, bring it by. And I met her at pastor's house and I was like, okay, I'll redo it. And ended up taking off the tin and the problem wasn't the tin, it was the glass. It was scratched. And so I told her, I was like, oh, look, it's not the tin, it's the glass. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry that I made you redo it and this and that. And I was like, no problem, it's all right. But from the time I took off the tin and I was cleaning it, I was talking to her. And I was wearing a Kauai Baptist t-shirt because I was going to come into the church and do some stuff after. And she just started talking about the Lord. She's like, you know, my husband, we used to go to Kaloa Missionary and stuff. And the long story short is I got to share the gospel with her. And I got to tell her what it meant to be born again. And I said, you know what, Mary? God did this for a reason. I didn't just redo your window to redo your window, but I did it so that I could share the gospel with you. And God orchestrated it so that I could share with you this truth, so that you could know Him, the one who loves you, and He wants a relationship with you. And it really pumped me up, and I was on fire. And so I prayed that day, right after that, I was like, Lord, I pray that there would be somebody I could witness to on the plane tonight. You know, maybe somebody at the airport or the person that I sit next to. You know, we ought to do that too, because if you're on a plane flight, you know, that's, well, for Kauai, it's not very long. half an hour. Once you get up, you get your drink, you're going straight down to Oahu. It's good if you don't like flying, but if you're trying to witness, it's like, okay, the gospel in a nutshell, let's go. You know? But after the service, Daniel dropped me off at the airport and went through TSA. And I sat down kind of on one of the terminal, and it was an empty row, like maybe this big. It was one of these rows. I sat on that side and got out my book, and I just started reading. And about 4 or 5 minutes later, a young woman comes, and she sits down maybe right next to Miss Susie. She asked me the weirdest question. I was reading my book. She's like, excuse me, can you watch my bag? I have to use the restroom before we board the plane. And I was like, should I say yes? Because I remember how they say, if anyone ever gives you a bag and asks them, don't take it. And so she was like, she's Michelle's age, my sister. And she looked, reminded me of my sister. And I was like, okay, I don't think she's a terrorist. So, okay, fine, sure. And so I made sure I looked at her real good. I'm like, okay, she looks Filipino, and just getting, a description. And the whole time I was praying, I was like reading my book, and I was kind of slowed down. And I was like, Lord, I hope there's not a bomb next to me. I don't really want to blow up right now. And because you never know, we're at an airport and people are crazy. And she comes back and I was like, okay, she came back. So I know it's not a bomb. And we get to talking and small talk and told her I go to Bible college and this and that. And I was reading my book. I don't have it with me, but it says spiritual authority on it, big letters. And she's like, can I see your book? And I was like, that's another weird question. Whoever asked me to see my book, she's like, I want to read the foreword or whatever you call it. And I was like, okay, again, kind of like, this is awkward. And so she's reading, and I'm like, yeah, it's one of my books required for reading for school that's coming up in my Bible college. And she's like, really? Yeah, it's about God, I told her. She's like, really? And she said this statement, blew my mind. I was like, this is the one after that. She said, really? I'm searching for him. And I was just like, mind was blown. Like, I didn't tell her that, but I was just like, I think this is the one, Lord. And long story short, I could go on and on about all how God just orchestrated him. But I got to share the gospel with her. And I got to tell her what it meant to be born again. And I got to share with her the love of Christ that she can have. And she said this multiple times. She's like, I just want a relationship with God. And I was like, well, you're on the right track. Just keep seeking him, because I'm of the persuasion that I can give the gospel, but I can never force anyone to believe. My sister got saved 3 weeks after I got saved. I was preaching the gospel ever since I got saved to her, Michelle. But it wasn't until 3 weeks later that she came of the realization that she was a sinner and that God opened up her heart. If you remember, if you were here on Monday night, I think it was, that how in Acts chapter number 16 or 17, I think it was Lydia, the seller of purple, whose heart God opened. And it's God who opens the heart. It's God who makes the increase, who brings the increase. But we ought to be faithful to preach the gospel. And it was such an encouragement to see how God used me. And he answered my prayer. And, I gave her number to my sister Michelle, so she could follow up on her, but when she gets saved, which I'm confident she will, what's going to happen? She's going to give glory to God. Why? For not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, but it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we ought to be of the same mind one toward another, that we give God glory, and that our goal would be to give the gospel, that we would give God more glory, because that's what life is all about. It's about giving God glory. And so whether therefore you eat or you drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Have you been doing that? Because before we can do that, we first must be. And it goes right back to Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. And I'll say it again like I said it before, and if you'll turn there, and we'll close with this. in order to do these things, in order to have that heart, starts with verse 1. And say amen when you're there. And it's what I finished out with 2 weeks ago. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And in order to do Romans 12, or 2 through 21, and as we talked about Romans 12, 15 and 16, it starts by daily surrender. It starts by us saying, God, I can't, but you can't. For in and of myself dwelleth no good thing, but in and through you, Christ, your word says that I can do all things. For apart from you, your word says, I can do nothing. But by your grace, for your grace is sufficient, your strength is made perfect. For in my weakness, the Bible says, his strength is made perfect. His power is manifested in our life, in our weakness. God doesn't call us to live strong. He doesn't call us to be independent. He calls us to be dependent upon him, surrendered to him, yielded to him, saying, yet not I live it, but Christ liveth in me. For I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless. Starts with surrender. Start with saying, God, I can't, but you can. Oh Lord, would you live through me that people would see that I would be different from the inside out. You see, we don't want to be like a Pharisee. We want to be a disciple. We want to be one whom God is working from the inside out and not trying to work from the outside in. But it starts with surrender. It starts with yielding ourselves to God each and every day. Maybe you got to ask God, say, God, help me to be a better relator. Help me to understand what people are going through. And then, Lord, help me to be of one mind with my brothers and sisters. One goal, that's to give glory to you and to give the gospel. That your will would be done. That people would be saved. That believers would be encouraged and edified. And that you would be exalted. Because that's why we're here, church. God has called us to make a difference. And it starts with us. Shall we pray? Father, we love you. Thank you for the opportunity again to share your word. I praise you for the word of God. And I pray you would help us as your people to be in it. To let your word dwell in us richly, for your word is what transforms our life, and your word is what gives us that eternal perspective. And Lord, I pray you would help us not just to be doers, but to be before we first do. Help us to be Christians from the inside out. Help us to live lives crucified for you, that you would live through us, Lord, because I find in my life the hardest thing to do is die, but the most rewarding thing to do is to die, that you would live, that we would find our life, and that we wouldn't waste it, that we wouldn't lose it, Lord. I pray you bless the service to come. I pray you would be with these dear people. I pray that your word would have free course, and I pray that it would achieve that which you have it to do. And Lord, I'll thank you for all of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. Service is going to start in about 14 minutes. There's refreshments out there for the guests, right to the left out the door. So thanks to Brother Norm.